Good morning. This is fun. This is really fun. It's fun to see familiar faces and to know that you belong. And it's fun to see some new faces and also to know that you're as new as I am here. And it's good to belong. It's interesting. This is going to be fun to figure out right here. I told Michael if I had some time in my life that I was going to build a lazy Susan that I could stand on, and then I was going to bring my blower, crank it up, and just let it run the whole time and keep revolving me around here. But I have other things that I'm paying attention to. If I've not gotten to meet you, my name is Mitch, and I'm the pastor of spiritual growth at our church, Lake Forest, in the main campus, but also extending here. And so that's a heavy call because I'm called to create spaces for you to be able to grow. And so I hope this sermon in itself would be a place that would challenge you to grow. We are continuing a series called Open Doors that both campuses have been focusing on. And our hope in this Open Doors series is we're looking at different people's responses to who Jesus is. So we're looking at how people are responding to him and experiencing him. And so far, we've seen a skeptical person come to a place of faith. And last week, you guys looked at a demonic man, a man that was, demons had taken over his body, deep troubles in his life. And Jesus touches him and he's healed. And then he comes to a place of telling others about who Jesus is. And this morning we're going to continue that. We're going to look at someone else. And because we believe that Jesus is alive today, we also believe that we don't just look at Scripture's response, people in the Scriptures and how they respond. But because we believe he's alive today, we're also called to look for ourselves. How will we respond? And that's the big question of this series. The greatest part of this series, the biggest question is, how will you respond to Jesus? The Open Doors series, it's based on this verse in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll eat with them and they with me." So the question, again, the big question for this series is, how will you respond to Jesus? And we're going to look at another response this morning. We're going to look at one of my favorite stories in Luke is Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 50. We're going to look at a woman's response to Jesus. So I'm encouraging you, if you have Bibles in your chairs, to grab those. If you have iPads, if you have iPhones on you, whatever it is that you pull up the Scriptures, to pull that up there. And I just want to share with you one of my favorite stories in Luke. Luke is one of the Gospels that every year that I will take and I will spend time in. I will visit it every year and just spend some time in it. And over these last couple of months, this is where I've been spending all of my time. Again, it's that time of year. And so I want to just share this story with you in Luke 8. We read the passage, so let's get our head around the story. But as we're getting our head around the story, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you. Ask yourself, where am I in this story? Which of these characters, which of these people, who am I in this story? So I'm going to challenge you to ask that for yourself. Jesus has just returned from across the lake. He's come across the lake, and he's just left healing this demonic man that Michael talked with you guys about last week. And so he's just healed this man, and now he's coming back across the lake to an area that he's already been in. He's done a lot of healing. He's touched a lot of people's lives, and he meets a crowd. There's a large crowd there, and they're waiting for him. They're waiting to see him again. They welcome him. And there are a lot of different people in this crowd. And again, as I explain who these people are in this crowd, ask yourself, who am I? Who am I in this crowd? See, there were many in this crowd that they just liked to know that they were in the crowd. They were excited. There are a lot of people gathering. There's this famous guy here, and they were very excited to be in the crowd. They had heard the stories of Jesus, and they saw this crowd gathering, and they wanted to be included. And so they wanted to be a part of it, just being in the crowd. Meant that there was something special about them. See, there's something amazing when you follow somebody famous, that something happens when you're in that crowd, you all of a sudden feel a lot more important. You can watch the PGA Tour and see all the people following Tiger Woods and his horrible game, but yet the crowd still follows for some reason. My wife and I were in New York City a number of years ago,
And it was just us, and we were walking through the streets, and we came down the side road where the David Letterman, the back door to the David Letterman show is. And we saw this small crowd gather. And so we stopped, and we asked somebody, hey, why is everybody here? What's happening? And they said, Drew Barrymore is about to arrive. Sweet. E.T. girl. Charlie's Angel girl. She's about to come up. And so we said, let's hang out. We'll stay here. Another hour and a half later, which I learned that some New York language, she's about to be here, is really longer. She drives up, and I see Drew Barrymore. I actually lean on Drew Barrymore's car. Yeah. Dude, I saw Drew Barrymore for like 10 seconds. And then I got on my phone, and I started calling everybody. And then when we got home from New York, we were telling everybody, I saw Drew Barrymore. The way we were telling this story, you'd have thought we'd have spent the whole week in New York with Drew Barrymore. But the reality is, she never looked at me. She didn't touch me. I didn't touch her. She didn't speak to me. I didn't speak to her. We were just in the crowd, and I leaned on her car. But I saw Drew Barrymore. I was in that crowd, and I felt very special. And so this crowd that's following Jesus, there are some that are in this crowd that had met Jesus, but there were others who were in this crowd that they were just glad to be a part of the crowd. So that's our first person that we're looking at. There are others in this crowd, and they were people like Jairus. Jairus, he was a man that things in life, they were working out for. He was the religious leader there. He was the guy that things in life were going pretty well for. He was the synagogue leader. But immediately a crisis has struck his life, and he should have been in this crowd. This was the type of person that was in this crowd because there are people in this crowd looking for Jesus to do a miracle, or they wanted to watch Jesus do a miracle. And Jairus fit the bill. He was able to get through the crowd and to convince Jesus to come because he had a 12-year-old daughter that was dying. A man that things in life were going pretty well with, but now this crisis has hit. And they were able to let him get through the crowd because he was the religious leader. He was the synagogue leader. But more importantly, is no one in that crowd wanted a 12-year-old girl to die. And so this heavy crisis has hit him. And he's there because other people, there are many in this crowd, that crisis had hit their lives and they needed a miracle. They needed Jesus to do something amazing. So that's the second person. Now, there are others in this crowd as well, and they were people that had already been healed by him. They were people that knew Jesus. He had touched his life, and they have been healed by him, and they wanted others to come and to meet this Jesus. And so these were people like Peter that were here in this crowd. They're a part of Jesus' mission. They want to help Jesus accomplish this mission. They've met him. They know him, and they're all about, Jesus, let's get to the thing that you're here for. And I imagine that Peter is standing there, and they hear the news, we've got to get to Jairus because his daughter is dying. And then Jesus stops and says, who touched me? I imagine that Peter says, okay, Jesus, there's a crowd. There are a lot of people. You know, there are a lot of people touching you. We're tight in here. There are a lot of people bumping in you. And he's saying to Jesus, but Jesus, there's this daughter. There's this 12-year-old. You've got to get there. I want you to get there and to heal her. And Peter was very much about, Jesus, let's hurry. Let's get to the big thing. Let's stop worrying about the little things here. Let's get to the big thing. And so there are people, many like Peter in the crowd, they knew the healing power of Jesus, and they longed for others to know it as well. But then there's somebody who sneaks in. There's one that sneaks through the crowd. And I'm not even sure you could say that they were part of this crowd, but they were in the crowd. A woman that didn't know Jesus. She wasn't positive he would heal her, but she was going to do everything she could to find out if he would heal her. A woman that had been bleeding for 12 years, and she had tried everything she could to find healing. She has spent every dime that she had for healing to happen. And she's just hoping that Jesus might heal her. She tried doctors, magicians, prayers, the synagogue, rituals, herbal teas, diets, sorcery, witchcraft. She'd gone to Bleeders Anonymous. She'd gone over to Barnes & Noble. She'd bought every self-help book that she could. She spent every dime that she had, and nothing for 12 years would stop this bleeding going on. She was a person that had brokenness in her life for as long as she could remember, and she just wanted it to go away. This woman thought, I just need to touch him. I don't need to bother him. I don't need to interrupt him. I don't need to slow him down. I just need to touch him. That's all I want to do. And she does. She touches Jesus. Actually, she just touches his clothing. And instantly, she is healed. 12 years of battling this thing. And instantly, it is gone. And then she slips away into the crowd. But Jesus stops. He stops and he pauses. And he says, who touched me? And the crowd, and Peter and others are going, Jesus, a lot of people have touched you. There is a girl 12 years old who's about to die. We've got to rush to her. We've got to get to her. That's more important. He says, no, who touched me? There are people all around him, and they're touching Jesus, and they're going, I didn't touch him. Did you touch him? No, I didn't touch him. And nobody wants to admit that they touched him because there's this famous, healing, powerful man that's standing here. I didn't touch him. You don't touch the famous people. And so everybody's denying this, and Peter looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, there are a lot of people here. There are people that have bumped up against you. And Jesus says, no, this one's different. This one didn't just bump into me. This one reached out to me. This one didn't just stumble into me. This one longed for me. A woman that had been bleeding for 12 years, an outcast, unclean. Jewish law in Leviticus 15 would have declared her unclean. And it would have declared her as well that if she touched anything or anybody, it also would have been unclean. Jairus, the synagogue leader, would have been the one who have said, you are unclean. But yet she's in this crowd. She didn't belong in the crowd. She wasn't allowed in the crowd. She was to be isolated. Because anyone in this crowd that she touched, they would have also been unclean. And she reaches out and she touches Jesus. Because she is hoping that she can use this crowd to hide from the crowd and get healing from Jesus. And so here's another that's in this crowd. Someone that's in the crowd using the crowd to hide from the crowd to hopefully find healing from Jesus. See, this woman, she wasn't like the others in the crowd who were just interested in kind of being there and saying that I'm a part of the crowd. She wasn't like Jairus. She wasn't able to make her way through this crowd and to push her way through and to say, I need healing. She wasn't allowed in this crowd. She shouldn't have been there. This wasn't a crisis in her life like Jairus. This was her life. This is all she had known. And so those are our four people in this story. And again, because we believe that Jesus is alive, I truly believe that we can find ourselves in this story as well. And so those are four different types of people. And again, I challenge you, who are you? See, I got to believe that there's some in this crowd today that you're here and you love being a part of the crowd. Man, there's some cool stuff happening in Lake Forest Davidson. It's a new thing. It's fun to be a part of. I want to be a part of it. It's exciting to be a part of this. And for some of you, maybe you're here because you're excited just to be a part of the crowd. But if you look honestly, I bet some of you are saying, I'm a fan of God. I love being around God things and Sunday morning church. That's where you're supposed to be. But if you honestly look and you're honestly sitting and you're saying, but the truth is, I'm just in the crowd. I've never really touched Jesus. And I've never really let him touch me. I've never really met him. And he's never really met me. But I've been okay with kind of being on the outskirts and being just a part of the crowd. It makes me feel good to be a part of that. And I just want to say to you, there is a door that Jesus is knocking on right now. And he's telling you, if you will open that door, he will come in. And he longs for you to open that door, to not just be a part of the crowd. He longs to meet you, to dine with you, to change your life, to be a part of your life. And I pray that today, if that is you, I pray that today you might open that door. Now, I also believe that there's some of you that are here. There's huge crisis that's hit your life. And you are begging Jesus to heal you. I just want to share with you just in this last month. I went through my calendar and just kind of spent some time with who are people that I've spent time with over this last month. I just want to share with you just in the last month, crisis of people at Lake Forest and what they're going through. Lost jobs, person who lost their entire home, a spouse that said they wanted a divorce, an elementary daughter that had to have brain surgery, a man that tore both ACLs, he couldn't go to work for 6 weeks, a brother committed suicide, a spouse died of cancer, a parent died, a daughter was checked into a psychiatric ward, a spouse was caught in an affair, a spouse was caught lying about money, a son arrested for underage drinking, a class was failed, a fiancé decided to call off a wedding, and a friend, some that deeply respect, has chosen to move away. Crisis all over. And I know there's a deep part that you're just longing. Jesus, would you do a miracle? Would you touch my life? And you are like Jairus. You are begging Jesus to come. And you're saying, Jesus, if you don't come soon, this door of opportunity for healing to happen, it's going to be gone. Jesus, I need healing now. I'm begging you, would you hurry? Would you come? And this morning, I am praying. I pray with you that Jesus would come and he would heal this crisis that has hit your life. I do pray that. But also pray, I pray more even that, is that you would hear the words that he spoke to Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just believe, and you will be healed. But in that, Jairus learns that Jesus is not going to rush. In some of Jesus' healing in crisis, you will have to wait. And like Jairus, he learned that day as well that healing, this miracle that he will do in his life, won't look like what you hope it will look like. But more than anything, as I pray and I long that you would hear the words, verse 50, don't be afraid, believe, and you will be healed. Healing may not look like what you want it to look like, but healing does come. So that's the second person I think is in this crowd. The third person, I think many of you are here because you love Jesus. You have met him. He has done great healing in your life. And you long for others to come and meet him as well. And I'm excited about that. You're like Peter. I find myself as Peter in this story. And my challenge to myself and my challenge to you is equal in the sense that don't think that Jesus is about this big thing and miss that he's calling your life to be interrupted by these small things. I look at this story of Peter, and Peter is, Jesus, we got to get to Jairus. We got to get there. That's the bigger thing. And Jesus says, no, we have to be interrupted by this woman. And there are people in our lives that we need to allow Jesus to interrupt. We need to stop and allow him to do amazing healing in those small things. So those are people in this crowd. But here's what I'm going to spend the rest of our time with this morning. The one that I'm mostly interested in. I'm mostly interested in this morning, those of you that are here, that you are in this crowd, but you're hiding from this crowd. And you are just hoping that maybe Jesus would heal you. And I know that some of those stories are those of you who you're struggling with depression, and you don't want anybody to know it. You have an addiction that's eating at you, and you can't tell anybody. Or you have a sexual preference that's haunting you and it's confusing you and you don't dare admit it, especially in church. Or you have a marriage that is falling apart and day after day you find yourself just faking it. But day after day, you're hoping that these things would just go away. Jesus, would you slip in? Would you make these things go away? And then I'll just slip away. Would you just heal these things? I don't want to interrupt you. I don't want to bother you. But if you'll just heal these, and then we'll be good. But I want you to know that Jesus wants more for us than to just be healed. He longs for more in our lives. just for him to touch us and then us to slip away. You see, my favorite verse in this whole passage is verse 47. It says, "Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, she came trembling and fell at his feet." Jesus stops in this crowd of all of these people who are following him, and she touches him, and he knows what's going on with her, but he stops, and he cries out, "Who touched me?" Why would he do this to this woman? Why would he put her on the spot when he knows that all of this is happening, this healing that is happening, knows her story? Why would he stop and call her out? I believe there are a few reasons, but the primary reason was for her. Here is a woman that came to Jesus in isolation, completely okay with never being known by him, but just hoping that he might heal her. A woman that had lived with this gross thing in her life for 12 years, just longing for it to go away. And it would have been okay if Jesus just taken it away and then I can just move on with life. But think about this. Think about what she missed for 12 years. If she had not been married for 12 years, this would have kept her from marriage. If she had been married, then for 12 years, think about the level of intimacy she would have missed out with her spouse. For 12 years, think about the relationship she never had. For 12 years, being an outcast. For 12 years, every day being reminded that she is unclean. Every day being told if she touches someone, then they become unclean as well. There's no hugs, there's no affection, there's no touch. Complete isolation for 12 years. Can you imagine her life? She's learned to cope and to make it day to day, but her life was built around a lie. A lie that said, "You do not belong here." And that's why these words, when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came and she trembling fell down at her master's feet. And I got to imagine that when she fell at the feet of Jesus, she was kneeling and she was saying, "I know I don't belong here. I know I'm not supposed to be here. I know I'm not supposed to touch anybody, but I was just hoping, Jesus, I was just hoping that maybe you would heal me." And it tells us that she was healed immediately. And I find that fascinating, because it says that she was healed immediately, and for 12 years she dealt with this. If I'd have been healed immediately after 12 years, I'd have jumped up and said, "I'm healed. Does it look, everybody is gone." But why doesn't she do that? She doesn't do that because she has gotten so used to being not a part of this crowd's life. Her safe place was away from these people. None of these people were there to celebrate with her. None of these people were important to her because they had alienated her. They wouldn't care if she'd have been healed or not. She wasn't there to heal the relationship between them and her. She was there because she just wanted this thing to be out of her life. But Jesus says, "That's not enough. That's not enough. I'm not just going to heal you, but I'm going to move you from isolation to inclusion. I'm going to do more than that." And he says to her, "You belong here." You see, guys, this is a huge, huge deal to Jesus. This is so huge that 3 of the 4 Gospels record this story, which you don't see that all the time. You don't see all the Gospels recording all the same stories. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this story. And it's a huge deal because Jesus stops and he finds this woman that is hiding. A woman that doesn't want to interrupt him, a woman that thinks he's got more important things to deal with, and he stops. And when he stops, he is saying to her, "You are worth it. You are worth it to me to stop moving toward this big miraculous thing. You're important. You belong to me." And here's what you've got to catch in this whole story more than anything. Listen to what he says to her. He says to her, "Daughter." He says, "Daughter." He doesn't say, "Old lady." He doesn't say sinner. He doesn't say unclean person. He doesn't say person who's not supposed to be here. He says, "Daughter, one that I adore, one that I long for." my child, one that can interrupt me whenever you want to interrupt me. You see, Jesus longs for us to reach out to him. He longs us to seek him. And he longs more than anything to say, you interrupt me. You are worth me stopping for. You are my child. You belong to me. And he says that her faith has healed her. And see, I believe that her faith healed her physical wound, but it was the words of Jesus, these words of daughter, that healed her deeper inner wounds. He spoke belonging to her. He spoke worth. He spoke admiration. He spoke to this crowd that she is not unclean. She is my daughter. And he opens this door for her to enter back into community. It's part of the main reason why Davidson sits in the round. See, it'd be easy for you to walk out of here and things be focused on me and all of that. But our longing here at Davidson is that you would more than anything, yes, that we would connect. That you'd connect with each other. But more than anything, you would connect to who Christ is. And the beautiful part of that is when we connect with Christ, he says as well, you belong here. And so you're looking across at each other and you can say, they belong. They're a part of this crowd. And so the first thing that he was saying was to her, you belong. But the second he was saying to this crowd, she belongs here. She is no longer an outcast. She is the child of the God of the universe. And for 12 years, this crowd that he's standing as, you have alienated her. For 12 years, you have declared her unclean. For 12 years, she is afraid because she's had to live in secret for all of this time. For 12 years, she has done this, and I need for you as a crowd to know, this is my daughter. She belongs here. And there's a beautiful thing that happens then. She tells her story. She stops, and she tells her story. You see, there's life in being able to tell our stories. There's great joy in being able to tell our stories to one another. And so she tells her story, but most of us, we don't tell our story because of the shame. But her story doesn't focus on what she was. Her story is focused on what Jesus has done in the healing that has happened. So I believe Jesus called her out and stopped for her, for the crowd, but I also believe he called her to stop for you and I. I believe Jesus stopped this lady for you and I. You see, this morning, there's some of you that really, really need to hear this morning that Jesus calls you daughter or calls you son. It is really important that you embrace how powerful those words are. To hear Jesus call you his child, to hear Jesus say that you are my son or my daughter, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what everybody else is calling you. For some reason, when you hear that he says, the God of the universe calls me their child, I don't care what others say. Now, there's something really important for you to continue on. I encourage you to read it the rest of today, is to read the rest of the story. See, the rest of the story is Jesus goes on. I'll blow the ending for you. But the rest of the story is he goes on and he actually heals this daughter. He, in fact, brings this 12-year-old girl back from the dead. He raises her up from the dead. And I think it's critical to notice how Luke records the dying 12-year-old girl right beside this lady who's had this bleeding for 12 years. In the same way that Jairus is coming and pleading to Jesus, heal my daughter, Jesus is standing in this crowd pleading to this woman, come out, I'm here to heal you too. See, it's important to notice that that day Jesus raised two daughters from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter, and he raised his daughter from the dead. And there's so many people that will sneak into the church because you don't think that the church wants anything to do with you. And that saddens me. And I'm really, really sorry that if you're a part of this crowd, but yet you don't want to be in this crowd because you're afraid because of what the church has said to you, I am sorry. Because I know that you're here today because you are longing. You're hoping that maybe you can hide in this crowd, but yet Jesus still might heal you. And I promise you, he can heal. I have seen it. I have watched it countless times. times. And I pray that this morning you have seen Jesus, and I pray that you will know that he can heal and he does heal. I've watched him do this. But I pray more than anything that this morning you will hear these words: daughter, son, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Would you cling to those words? This morning, Michael Flake last week, he told you that faith is trusting God, putting our lives in God's hands, giving him control of our lives by asking him to be at the center of our lives. See, that's faith. And I believe that Jesus' words, daughter, your faith has healed you, go in peace, he was actually speaking to everyone in that crowd. For those of you who are part of the crowd, who just want to be in the crowd, he's saying, it's your faith that will heal you. It's your faith that will open that door to where you're no longer just a part of the crowd, but I've come in to dine with you. I'm in relationship with you. To the person that is in crisis, he's saying, your faith will heal you. It's your faith that will call you to trust and to wait on me. To the person who is following Jesus and you're helping others, he's saying, it's your faith that will lead others to Jesus as well. And then finally, to the person who you're here and you're just hiding from this crowd, it is your faith. It is your faith that will heal you. If you will choose to open the door, trusting God, putting him in the center. So as we close today, I want to ask you, have you found yourself in this story? Are you one of these people in this story? And as we close, I want to give us some practical steps to take. We're actually going to respond to Jesus even right now. Over in the stations on the side here, we're going to gather and we're going to worship for just a few more minutes together. And sitting at these tables, there are these little pieces of cloth to represent the clothing of Jesus that this woman touched. And so I'm encouraging, I'm going to challenge you that during our worship time this morning, at the right time, would you stand up and would you go to one of these stations? And if you're the person that's, I'm just happy to be in the crowd, would you go to the station, take a piece of cloth, and would you kneel somewhere and just say, Jesus, I don't want to just be a part of the crowd anymore. I invite you into my life. If you're the person that is in crisis and you're just begging, Jesus, would this go away? Would you take a piece of cloth and would you somewhere just kneel? Jesus, would you heal this? But at the same time, Jesus, would you help me to wait on you? If you're the follower of Christ, that you're just longing for others to meet Jesus, would you take a piece of cloth, go somewhere and kneel, and would you pray, Jesus, would you help me to be interrupted this week? Who is it that my life needs to be interrupted by? But especially if you're the person here this morning that you've been hiding, would you take this piece and would you kneel somewhere? And would you just hear the words of Jesus saying, daughter, son, your faith has healed you. You belong here. And after you take that step, you kneel, you pray somewhere for a little bit, come back to the table and there's some Sharpies there. And would you take and would you write on that piece of cloth, son or daughter, your faith has healed you. For all of us, those are words that Jesus speaks. And then you just take that with you. Hold on to this as long as you want. But mostly I pray this morning that you would hear your Jesus saying, I love you, you belong here. Your faith has healed you. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray that we would find ourselves in the story. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would know your healing. So would you do right now only what you can do? And would you speak your words to each of us, whoever we are in this story, would you say to us, and may we hear it, son or daughter, your faith has healed you. In your name we pray. Amen. good to finally be with Lake Forest Davidson. Thank you for inviting me and being here. One of the places that, if you're new to Lake Forest, one of the things that keeps us beating, core to us, is things called community groups. And I believe that for everybody that was in that crowd, there's a place that they needed to belong. In the same way for this crowd, I want to challenge you to be a part of continuing to worship together, but plug into community with each other. Right here in Davidson this week, we are starting two new community groups out of the Davidson campus. If you'd like to be a part of one of those, you can grab one of the Belong cards, or you can email me, mwhite@lakeforest.org, and I'd love to plug you into that or another group. But I challenge you, jump into a community group. Would you hear these words as we leave? And I love this because Michael Flake gets to say it to you every week. Would you keep looking up? Would you keep looking around? So that you will find life in loving God by looking at Him and looking to serve others. Good to be with you. Have a great day.